big rocks and all that sort of thing.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to a very special edition of the Mick Wall podcast featuring... Oh, who's our guest this week? Let me just check the sheet. Hang on, it's...
Guest.
Yeah. Let me just check the sheet. It's... John. And what do you do, John?
I just, you know, swing by, provide the talent, as they say.
You have been referring all morning, in fact, yes, to a simple tweet.
A lovely tweet from one of the readers.
A simple tweet sent by a simpleton, frankly. I think we can all agree on that. Who, in response to our last, in fact, the one that... Our last scintillating podcast, which featured our favourite new group, Starbenders, but we were talking about The Dealer, which we will again, of course. This person, who will remain nameless, suggested that, you know, we were like, this pod is like the crew where...
Someone owns the name.
And the other one provides the hits.
Yeah. Which I just thought was a very nice analogy.
No, not really. No, I mean, I have informed...
Given that you know, it is well known that you do own the name Mick Wall, and have insisted on calling this podcast the Mick Wall Podcast.
Yes.
Despite the fact I've made several suggestions as to what it should be called.
Hang on. So I started a podcast and called it Mick Wall Podcast.
See, it's always I. It's like listening to fucking Nikki Sixx. I did this. I did that. I wrote Theatre of Pain. Then I wrote... Well,
yeah.
Did you? You know, that's...
Yeah,
because once
so.
Again, what's happened this week? What is the first thing that's happened this week is Bob Rock, producer Bob Rock, well known, you know.
Well, used to be well known. What's he done lately?
Well, I mean, probably most famous for doing Metallica, isn't he? That's what he recorded the Black Album.
Well, he started and he worked for, was it Bob Clearmountain?
Yes,
no, not Bob, Bill.
Bill. Bob Clearmountain.
Was it Bob?
I don't know. Billy Bob Clearmountain.
Because I thought he was Bob and the other one was Bill.
Bill, yeah, probably.
I don't know. But so they produced the cult album, Sonic Temple.
Yeah. Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, Sonic Temple. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Because Ruben had done Electric, hadn't he, after they'd got rid of...
The original guy
Steve. Made them sit down and
down
and
down
and down and
down. Yeah, which that worked. One. Which that worked in England.
Yeah, it was good.
But not in America.
No, you can't.
In America,
like
you need...
Yeah.
Which they ripped off from AC/DC, but then, you know, that just goes on. It's just one of those things. Famously, Dr. Feelgood.
Yeah.
By Motley Crue.
Yeah, the one you meant. Feel good. It's going to make you feel all right. You're the one they call Dr. Feelgood. What a... Vince at his best there.
Oh,
coming
yeah.
up with the vocal melody.
Oh, yeah.
That just follows the bass line. I mean, it's...
Yeah. Well, that's the way it's done on classic, in the classic years.
Yeah, he's the one that called Dr. Feelgood.
So from there... Bob was tapped up to do Metallica.
Yeah.
The album now known as The Black Album. And with Metallica he stayed right up until
he
and
did,
including...
Because he does the famous one on the documentary, the If You Will Rockumentary, that's very, very funny, where he's just in the studio. He's the bass player on it, isn't he? Because they fire Jason Newsted. Or Jason Newsted leaves or whatever.
By mutual agreement.
Because Hetfield's, you know.
Lovely. Hetfield thought he was a bear.
Yeah.
Took out his gun.
No, Hetfield is... What's happened at this point is Hetfield's gone into rehab and he's been told by his rehab that he can only work between, 10 and 3.
between Gaia Clock and
so Stars and, is like Stars is whoa, hey man, if I want to do a playback at 2 a.m. I will. And Hetfield's anti that, and Newstead starts his own band and it all falls apart and they have to bring in a psychotherapist.
Yeah.
Which is what you do when you've got more money than
well,
sense.
Well, you know, you probably didn't see
and
this
frankly,
tweet.
And frankly, they've not recorded anything worth shit ever since. That's the truth.
And, well, no, hang on. No, I'm going to pull you up there, but, well,
oh,
I'd rather not. No, yeah.
You're not going to say that Lou Reed thing again. Don't start with that.
Fucking masterpiece.
But did Bob Rock produce that? No, no, probably not exactly. That
no.
was their problem.
No, but
was
you
it,
said
was it,
they'd
hit?
Never done anything else
was
since.
Was it a hit? No. No,
listen,
it wasn't.
Listen,
no.
Just because something's not a hit doesn't make it bad. Like, just if something's a hit doesn't make it good. Make it good. You know, like, for instance, you know, this obsession you've got with, you know, Taylor Swift. Yeah, it doesn't make it good in your Taylor Swift T-shirt there and your pigtails.
It's just, it's just she's on tour at the moment, so I can't help but...
Yeah. You have to, yeah, of course, yeah. No, I'm with you.
You get
on
it,
that.
Don't you? Yeah.
I'm with you on that. But so, I don't know if you saw
wait,
this...
So,
no, wait.
Bob Rock. Oh, Bob yeah. Rock, that's what I'm saying. So Bob Rock goes on a podcast this week, right?
I can tell you just which podcast.
Oh, here we go. Because this is why you need someone to do the nuts and bolts. Which podcast was it?
Give me a chance. I had it on a screen here. And in careful preparation of today's...
Today.
Oh, here we go. Talk is Jericho.
Talk is... Oh, that's with the wrestler, is it? Chris Jericho, is it? Is it Chris Jericho?
I don't fucking know. I'm scrolling like
a fiend.
He's
a wrestler. If it is, he's a wrestler.
Well, it doesn't particularly say. Keep talking.
Well, anyway, so he's gone on a podcast. It doesn't matter what podcast.
No.
Not anything we'd listen to, but he's gone on a podcast. And he said on that podcast, well, of course you know, Nikki Sixx doesn't play bass on any of the first sort of 3 or 4 Motley Crue albums.
I've got the actual quote.
Give us the actual quote, please, Doctor.
In the interview, he goes, I've got to tell you a story about Nikki Sixx. This is funny.
And I think the Nikki Sixx he's referring to, just for clarity, is Frank Farrar.
As opposed to Matthew Tripp.
As opposed to Matthew Tripp, who did write several of the Motley Crue
well,
songs.
Well, I'm very glad.
So Matthew Tripp said.
Yes. Yeah.
So Matthew Tripp said.
And so you
in
keep
my,
saying.
In my exclusive
so
story.
You keep, yeah, you're yeah, referring yeah, to, of, yeah. what was that, 30 years ago now?
says the man who never looks back to the past.
No.
He never recycles his old interviews.
God, no. God. No. What, you mean for resale in magazines and
yeah,
things
in
like
Japan.
That?
He's big in Japan.
Oh, no. So No, that's not how I roll. Anyway, the quote is, so when they're making Dr. Feelgood, this is Bob now, Nikki says to me, he goes, I don't think I ever really played on any of the Motley Crue records. I think somebody came in at night and replaced all my parts.
See, now
so,
there you
so
go.
I don't really know how to play bass.
So what have I been saying since, as you rightly point out, 1987 or whenever it was, around that time?
Yes. Go on. What were you still saying?
That there was some... You know, irregularity in
there was
the
a hidden hand.
In the bass playing in Motley Crue.
There
that's
was a
all.
Hidden hand.
That's all. I mean, doesn't have to be a big Bob
Are
dealer.
Are you saying that Nikki was essentially...
What did the dealer say? What did the dealer say?
Let me ask the question. Are you saying that Nikki was essentially a puppet with a hand up his ass?
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
And you know whose hand it was? The dealer's. The dealer.
You think the dealer played bass?
Maybe, or he got, as Matthew Tripp said, Matthew Tripp was...
Fuck
just,
off about,
just
you
happened,
shut up
I
about
just,
Matthew Tripp.
I just happened to be in the Tropicana, or wherever it was.
Tropicana!
Was it, was.
Troubadour?
The Troubadour, that's it.
Or Tropicana.
Or the Tropicana, whichever the fuck it was, doesn't matter, same thing, same difference.
No, that's a Club Tropicano, I think it was in LA, yeah.
You,
that's where you used to. We were all down the Troubadour.
With
John and his friend, his special friend.
Strawberry daiquiri.
Were Club Tropicana with a strawberry daiquiri.
You in your bloody Rob Halford pants prancing around. But
underpants.
I just happened to be in the Troubadour or the Tropicana. And,
no, the Club
Mick
Tropicana.
Marcy,
that's where
Mick
you
Marcy,
were.
Oh, I can't. I'm looking for a bass player. I can't. I need someone to lay down these bass lines, Matt. That's just what the dealer said. Just what the dealer said.
When did he say that?
Well, I don't know. Some point in the 1980s that Nikki Six is talking about.
Right. So, I feel anyway, like I'm, it's like Nikki talking to Six, a pensioner who's wandering off down memory fucking lane. So Bob things Rock, that never happened.
Bob Rock, as they say,
as they
if
say.
You wait by the river long enough, the bodies of your enemies will float down.
I like that.
And Bob Rock has gone on a podcast. He's opened his big, fat Bob Rock mouth.
Wow, poor Bob.
And he's giving you a direct quote from Nikki Six. What happens a mere 2 days later after this firestorm blows up?
This is the fun part.
And the dealer's lawyers probably get on the phone. The dealer.
He's been dealt.
Because you know what the dealer's done? You know, he sits at home on his big sofa with all the Marshall stacks looking like death.
Counting down
his 8 years. That death
before he's dropped
got.
Into the Bermuda Triangle.
This is genuinely what's happening with the dealer. He set up a Google alert for Nikki Six. He has, or Motley Crue. He has. He set up a fucking Google alert. I bet you.
Why?
And he's going, ding, 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 ding.
Right.
Up it comes. Bob Rock finally admits Nikki Six said to him, I don't think, direct quote, I don't think I played bass on any of the first few
actual
Motley
direct
Crue.
Quote, I don't think I ever really played on any of the Motley Crue records.
So, I mean, to me, that's unambiguous. But, I mean, to others, that might carry a note of, oh, well, you
I
know,
might
like,
have done. I might have played bass.
It's like those guys who say, I recorded an album that I don't even remember being on. That Eric Clapton or something. I was out of it on heroin. I made three albums.
I don't even remember them. No.
You know?
And they were the best of my career. I wish I could remember because I've never had a hit since.
I was playing real good on those albums.
On the smack, yeah. So
those are the quotes. And then within a day, the dealer's alert comes up. Nikki Six's phone goes. Six is straight on the phone to Bob Rock. What the fuck have you said, you dildo?
But because also context here, because Bob is working with them again.
Oh, is it?
You didn't read the story.
I did know that the other week. Bob Rock is because he was going to record Vince's vocal parts. Vince is someone you don't want to turn up for a recording session.
Vince is like, I sang on them. Bob is back with the crew and they're making their first album with John five and a half out of ten.
Yeah,
and so can you?
He's very keen. He's sitting next to Bob. John five sits next to Bob for the whole time. Bob, that's so good.
Bob, you're great. Yeah.
Oh, Bob, how do you get that?
Can you
sound?
Just nudge the guitar up a tiny bit more, Bob?
Actually, down again because I wasn't good there. You're right. Let's put Vince on auto tune.
Like that wasn't already turned. Bring in the Vince mobile. I've lost me. Oh, yeah. So, can you imagine?
How many times are you going to lose your thread?
Because you
in
never shut up. You interrupt.
A fucking simple discussion.
I am doing. I'm going to do a solo show, and it's going to be. It's going to. Now listen.
Vince Neil announced his solo gig in Las Vegas.
a solo gig called Mick Wall. Uninterrupted.
Right.
How about that?
Okay. I think you should.
We'll see how many readers. How many readers turn up?
How many readers you get for that one?
Right. Can I get back to what I'm saying? Which is so. Imagine Nikki's.
Imagine my surprise.
Imagine Nikki's amused response when he reads that while sitting in the studio
next to Bob,
whose career he's resurrected.
Yeah. Bob's finally got a gig. You know,
giving him an album to produce, which is rarer than hen's teeth these days.
I mean, who? Because you do it all on a computer, you just press the button marked produce, production.
Kevin Shirley was telling me, you know, with his Joe Bonamassa albums, it's all done in like 3 days. You know, he gets them in, They just go blah, 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 yeah. And he sits on his laptop and edits it all together.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, that's production these days. Yeah.
Unless you're Iron Maiden,
you don't need to sit behind a, you know, a board that's
you're doing
as
the
wide
wingspan.
As,
like, he's doing like the Rick Wakeman major heart attack wingspan.
You know, it's like a flight deck, and you have to know how to push that one and push that. You don't need to know any of that.
Well, look
shit
at me.
Anymore.
Look how skilled I am.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
At recording
this. You know, you need, used to need an engineer and a tape op and a bloke to get the tea and coffee. You need, still need that.
Yeah.
But you don't need any of
you,
the other
so
stuff.
I've got you, so we're all right for that.
Yeah. You don't need any of the other stuff. You just need to press the button.
Like before
production.
We went on, we were doing a little sound check, and I said something wasn't
a
working.
Little sound check. You just,
and I was saying to you the record level.
The Mick Wall.
I said the record level.
Lament. It was working when you got here.
I said the record level, and you said, do you mean the record level?
I do, yeah. I did.
Of course, I was only joshing.
Out.
I was
I
merely joshing.
Yeah,
little
the
in
record
studio,
level.
Little in
so,
studio
so
joke.
So, readers, if the record level is a bit low in your ears, do write in to Mick Wall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, or write in to the guy with
well,
the
as
hits.
We say, you know, whose name is over the door, as they say. Do write in to the publican.
Well, this is all incredibly interesting. So,
so Nicky's now sitting next to Bob. So within a day, within an hour, Bob Rock. A wryly amused Nicky has nudged Bob in the ribs and said, Bob, why don't you very, very fucking quickly get back on that podcast and issue a retraction, please.
Yes, that's right.
And we will now, my assistant Mick Wall, will now read you said retraction.
Well, I was going to, but I think I've lost it.
Oh, the screen's gone blank.
No, it's my phone. I can't. Oh.
Maybe the record level's a bit low again.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, he comes back on. He's like, oh, just to clarify. I never, ever, and nor would I ever suggest
that Nicky Six, long rumoured not to have been the bass player in Motley Crue, was in fact not the bass player in Motley Crue. I would never suggest that.
I would never say that.
Never in my life.
Nor would I ever. Yeah. You know,
meanwhile, Bill, did you hear that? That's the dealer's alert. That's the dealer's alert going, oh, wait till you read this.
It's Mick. I got a message. Hi, Mick. Sorry, I can't read it out loud, obviously, because that would be an abuse of client privilege. You know, but but the dealer has indicated that I am right.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever I said. Oh, so that's the dogs joining in, which is good of them. Good of them. They're dealer fans. You can't say. See,
we're all dealer fans.
That's Coco the. Coco.
Maybe you should adjust the record level.
So anyway.
So.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Apparently, according to Nicky, the new Crue album is already recorded and ready to go.
Wow.
With John 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
What do you think of
that? I'll tell you, because the other Crue of note that happened this week was I have been watching with my finger on the pulse. The pulse of the modern
2021.
Culture.
2021.
I've been
the 2021 pulse.
I've been watching Pam and Tommy, which is the Disney Plus 8-part serialization of the story of Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee's marriage.
It's an eight part.
Honestly, it's so worth it. It's very,
it's
very
like Gone
funny.
With the Wind.
It is. It's the Gone with the Wind of heavy metal. It's the love story of Pam and Tommy, but
it's
basically
the love story of the century.
But it's basically about them having their sex tape nicked
by the garden, wasn't it, or something?
Well, no. Well, see, now herein lies the story, because it's got a sort of semi-serious edge. This, because I read something.
It's
I've only seen the first four episodes. I'm very much looking forward to seeing the next four. So I'm only halfway through the story, but I'll give you the story.
Oh yeah, thanks.
First of all, as it's told in Pam and Tommy, which begins with a pair of carpenters who are working on Tommy Lee's Malibu mansion, and they're building a new bed for Tommy. While they're building this bed for Tommy, all you can hear upstairs is, Tommy,
And I kept saying to her, my name's not Tommy.
They're shagging away. So they're building this bed. Very comical opening. Then Tommy Lee comes down to the guy playing Tommy Lee. He does look like Tommy Lee.
So he's tall, skinny.
Tall, skinny. He's got mayhem tattooed across his stomach.
Which the real Tommy has. Real
Tommy, they've copied all his tattoos. And he goes around at all times in a pair of bikini briefs. And that's it.
They thongs?
They're basically a thong. And he wanders into the guy, hey guys, how's it going? And basically gets them to... No, they tell him what they're doing. No, I've now changed my mind. I want it over.
Speed it up.
Anyway, the car. He falls into an argument with the carpenter. He's this guy called Rand Gauthier.
Only in LA.
Who's played by Seth Rogen.
Oh, really? Right?
And he's very, very good in it.
What's his name again?
Rand Gauthier.
Is that his real name?
Yeah. And Rand Gauthier's got this brilliant backstory that you start to kind of get through the first few episodes, which is that he's kind of a loser. He's a real loser guy.
What, Rand?
Yeah.
No.
He'd had a very brief career as a porn star when he was on set with his girlfriend, who's getting railed by this.
Like Tommy Lee.
Yeah, this sort of Tommy Lee-alike. And they want to do, well, there's no delicate way of putting this, they want to do an anal scene. And she refuses to do it with this guy because his wang's too big.
What a bitch.
And the guy, exactly. The guy.
I just need to insert a small comment. Just going to insert something here. You see, I've got a very large appendage. And I've had many women say to me, there's no way. And I said, no, allow me to demonstrate.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to insert that.
That was lovely. Yeah. Thank you for that. Yeah. That
so really I'm added, related to yours. Me so, and Rand.
So the guy running the porn shoot is this guy called Uncle Milty, right, who later becomes Rand's business partner in the sex tape. The sex tape business. But he comes up with this great line where he goes, the girl is protesting about this scene, and he's looking around at the other porn stars who are on set. He goes, I'm sorry, I don't have too many blokes with small dicks on my books. and they both turn round and look at Rand and laugh. And then the next thing you see is Rand's doing the anal scene. And he adopts this porn persona called Austin Moore. He becomes Austin Moore on the porn sets. So he has a very brief career in porn, which becomes important because...
Well, it better do, because it's going on. It's longer than the eight episodes.
Exactly. Well, this is why it's eight episodes. He falls out with Tommy Lee. And this was the one thing that I wasn't sure rang entirely...
Whether it was historically correct.
Well, because it's all based on a Rolling Stone article from 2014. The true story of Pam and Tommy's sex tape.
Absolutely.
Which was basically a lot to do with Rand Gauthier giving them the exclusive from his side. But he says that Tommy Lee was I can imagine Tommy Lee being a real dickhead, but he says he refused to pay him and his partner like $50,000 or whatever it was they owed. And when he went back to Tommy Lee's house to collect his tools after he'd been fired, Tommy Lee allegedly got a gun and told him to leave the tools and fuck off, basically. Which, I mean, you know what Tommy was like? Tommy was kind of like a happy-go-lucky guy. I don't know if he's
good
the
guy
kind of
to have around with
but,
his gun.
Yeah, exactly. He was a dick, but I don't know if he was that much of a dick. But anyway, so Rand Gauthier hatches
it depends
this...
Depends how much coke he's
exactly,
said.
Probably, yeah, probably.
I don't even know why you're using the word probably.
So Rand Gauthier hatches this plot to break back into Tommy Lee's house, which obviously he knows the layout of.
Right.
And steal his safe.
Right.
And he nicks the safe from the garage, and in the safe
is the tape.
Right. Right. And because he's got connections in the porn industry, he goes
and
back
sells it.
Well, no, they try to sell it everywhere.
How long is this going on for, by the way?
Well, I'll give you this bit.
Is
quickly.
The dealer in this story anywhere?
Very, very briefly.
Well, they get to that part.
They go around the valley trying to sign it. No one will take it because they haven't got releases from Pam and Tommy to sell it.
Right.
So Rand works out. He'll put it on this brand new thing in 1995 called the Internet.
Right.
And they can do it anonymously, which they do. But Pam and Tommy hire a ruthless LA private investigator called Anthony Pellicano, who's a real guy who's currently in jail.
Yeah, no, I know that guy.
Who basically finds out within about 30 minutes who... There's one other brilliant scene, which I'll tell you about.
Oh, that was a brilliant scene already.
Where Pam realises how thick Tommy is. Where
it took her a while.
Yeah, it took her a while. They're being interviewed by Pellicano, who's trying to find out who might have nicked the sex tape, you know. He goes, have you got any enemies? And Pam goes, no. And he goes, Tommy, have you got any enemies? Tommy goes, Bret Michaels, Axl Rose, Vince Neil. Yeah, he just goes through this list of people. And then at the end of it, he goes, oh, yeah, this carpenter guy. And Anthony Pellicano goes, what's the story then? He goes, well, basically, yeah, he turned up at my house and I took out my gun and told him to get lost and I owe him $50,000. And it's like...
That couldn't be the guy.
Actually, he had the keys to the gate, you know. It's like Pam's just sitting there going, Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah. So it's very... Yes. It's black comedy. It's very funny.
Oh, it's funny, is it?
Yeah, but it does become slightly starts to touch on how awful all of this is for Pamela Anderson, because as she tries to explain to Tommy, it's worse for a woman than it is for a guy. You know, all anyone says about the sex tape and Tommy is, oh, wow, did you see how big his dick is? And it's like, that's great. But, you know, Pam, it's much worse for her. But Tommy doesn't really get that.
No, well, he wouldn't. Hang on, just to be clear. We're talking about Tommy Lee, the drummer in Motley Crue.
The
guy that could play upside down.
Yeah, yeah, that's the guy.
With mayhem
tattooed across
in
his stomach.
12-inch high letters across his stomach.
Yeah.
He didn't get it.
But it has a slightly sort of tragic edge because when the tape comes out, Pam has a miscarriage and it's this sort of terrible time in their lives.
Oh, yeah.
But I thought I'll just kind of try and read that Rolling Stone article to see how... of accurate, and actually stumbled on an interview with Pamela Anderson where she said Seth Rogen, who was one of the producers of Pam and Tommy, and the other producers just basically did the whole thing without consulting her, and she's had no money from it, she's had nothing, and basically has essentially been was ripped off with the sex tape where they didn't get it.
And now
it's been ripped off again and has it all completely bought up again to a new generation, like her sons are now 25 and 26. You know, like it's not a load of fun hearing about your mum's sex tape.
No, because they always thought she was a bank clerk.
Well, yeah, they did. That's what she told them.
They had no idea that the ex-glamour model and sex tape queen...
But it's like you were saying, you know, I mean, you know, about your massive wang, you know, it's... It's
well,
a double-edged sword.
It is a double-edged. You've double-edged seen it, have you? It is a double-edged sword. It's true. That's one of its peculiar features.
But the only bit you see of Crew so far, as I've only seen four episodes, the only bit you see of Crew is they do them in through a studio window in sort of soft focus. So they haven't really got actors who look much like them. So you see someone who looks a bit like Vince with blonde hair and sunglasses. And then you see the dealer. In his cap. Do you remember the cap he used to wear? The big oversized sort of peaky blinders
it,
type
still
cap.
Wears it.
That, you see that, and you sort of see the dealer a bit from
the dealer.
From the
you
back.
See the dealer dealing.
Yeah, you see
from
the dealer
back.
Dealing. You know who you don't see?
Who?
Nikki Sixx. You don't.
Well,
you don't.
Let's circle back to where we began this extraordinarily wonderful journey. Bob Rock, in that article...
Yeah.
The one that he
now denies.
The follow-up.
Oh, the follow-up.
He's bending over backwards hard.
At that time, he's actually got an actual gun.
But listen to what he says. I mean, the phone has messed up, so I haven't got the quote, but I read it, was laughing. And he's like, you know, it's like when we began these sessions for the new album, Nicky turned up, and of course I hadn't seen him in years, and he's this amazing bass player. And
which I thought was weird.
Exactly. He doesn't say which I thought was weird, but that's the... Which I was like really taken by surprise. And I went, whoa. He's like, I went, whoa, man. What's going on?
Dude, what's this?
Yeah. You can play the bass.
Because Bob's turned up. He's not only got his laptop, he's got his bass. In the car. Because he's the bass player on the Black Album, one of the biggest
Nicky
albums
tells
of all time.
Nicky tells him that he's actually been taking lessons on how to play the bass the last 8 years. So what's that, 2015?
Yeah, and with, you know, I mean...
Hey.
2015 he started learning to play the bass. That's what you're saying.
Well, that's what Bob's saying.
Right, that's not you saying that.
No,
that's
I'm
Bob.
Telling you what Bob said.
Yeah.
Because Bob... He's not in any way in the shit.
Not at this stage.
He's with a wryly amused Nicky Six.
He's not in a huge hole, which he still somehow seems to be digging, despite his apology.
I went, whoa, what's going on, dude?
You finally mastered the four strings.
And he's like, well, I've been taking lessons for the last 8 years.
Who from? Did he say who from?
Steve Harris,
yeah,
I think.
Bomber Harris.
Yeah, because they're very similar. Like, if you go, dun 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 dun, and then there's Steve Harris, but faster. Dun 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 dun
dun dun dun dun dun. Actually, weirdly, my one heavy metal duty of the week this week was to interview Joey Tempest from Europe.
Oh,
who was good fun, and we obviously had to talk about the Final Countdown. And he said, you know the bit in the Final Countdown, you do the ba ba ba, but then once the chorus, the verse starts, that we're leaving together. Da-dum, da-dum, da-dum.
Yeah.
Nick that from Steve Harris. Yeah.
Do you know, I introduced them on stage at an event in Holland.
Did you kick their drums over?
No. I'd never heard of them.
Europe?
Because this is...
This was only last year. You'd never heard of Europe?
No. I was at bass playing class. Yeah, and... No, it's like just before they got big here. Yeah, right. They were already sort of well known in
Sweden. Yeah, that's what happened. They won a talent show in Sweden.
No, please carry on interrupting my story. You know, but it's when I worked on Sky and they were doing this thing.
Oh, did you ever show on Sky?
So
rarely mention that.
No, I know. Yeah, I don't like to talk about it. It's like my double-sworded wang.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't like to talk about it.
If people forced.
Get the wrong idea.
If forced, yeah.
They get right. If forced, obviously. Yeah. And so it's dry ice and all that shit. And it's loads of fucking people because there's loads of different Sky things. And I have to go, Europe. And
is that exactly how you did it?
Yeah. I did. I have done that at other shows. I'll tell you about that in a minute. But sort of reading from a crib sheet.
Yeah.
And here they are. Europe.
Yeah.
You know,
Europe. Yeah.
And at that point, explosions go off.
Yeah.
But I'm in the middle of this. Don't know where to go. And next to me is Joey in full lion's mane.
Yeah, yeah.
And all you can hear is... I'm going,
get the fuck off.
And he's looking at me like, you know, fuck off then. Yeah. And he's got the mic and he's going...
We're leaving together.
Right up your ass. And I'm standing here going, I don't know what to do. So he sort of gives me a bit of a push. And off I go, and my mic is still on for the telly, not the one I held for the
audience. Where you go to the toilet or something, is it?
No, I go back off the side, and one of the regular crew guys, because I used to do the Monsters Rock show, he goes, oh, they mates are yours then. I went, fuck off.
They're coming out of the PA.
They mates are yours. Fuck off, they're rubbish. And then we go,
no, shh.
We think no one noticed.
Yeah, no one's.
I'll tell you one time.
Final Countdown.
I was hosting the Status Quo fan convention at Butlin's.
Yeah.
Prestige gig.
It's pretty much as you peaked. Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't book me for the last one.
Yeah, I don't
know. Wow. Anyway, over the whole weekend, you know, they've got their usual array of guest stars. But they've also got a
John
shit ton
Coughlin's
of,
Diesel. Yeah,
John Coughlin's Diesel and yeah. Rick Parfitt's son. And Alan Lancaster turned up one year. But it's basically loads of Quo tribute bands.
Yeah.
From all over the world.
Yeah.
And it's all like, you know, Quo Vadis.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep Quoing or you know, that yeah. sort of thing.
And again this, and again.
Yeah, well, yeah. yeah. It's a Sunday night. And this is like the fifth band on. It's the third night of three. Fifth band on, probably the headliners. And I've had a drink by this point.
Yeah.
Do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
I've had a drink.
Or two.
Just yeah. a small sherry yeah. for my voice.
Yeah.
You know? And I go out to introduce... I still can't fucking remember what they were called, actually. But I knew they were from, let's say, Sweden. And I went, so here they are, the best Quo tribute band in Sweden. I can't remember their yeah. fucking name.
Oh, shit.
Quotastic.
Quotastic. That's probably definitely it.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
I went,
yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's the only way you can get, always say, they need no introduction from me.
Please, will you welcome?
You know each other.
Hello!
Yeah. Do that thing when you can't remember the person you're standing next to. You know each other, don't you? And you're just hoping they say that. Oh yeah, I'm Ricky. Yeah, yeah.
After the lockdown, my favourite restaurant. Well, it's not my shithole, but I used to take people there if we needed to, you know, have a meeting. And the waitress, who I hadn't seen since before lockdown, had always been super friendly. Like you know, where you yeah. know, you know. Damien was with me. He's sitting opposite me.
We should explain Damien is your
accountant.
And once my accountant.
Yeah, Moody. Yeah. We call him Mr. Moody.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, aren't you going to introduce me? I couldn't remember her fucking name.
Yeah.
I went, Damien, this is Richard.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So,
you couldn't remember her name, but the name of the Status Quo Tribute Act suddenly came back to you.
Which, of yeah. course, was... Oh, yeah. Right, now, on that bombshell...
Yes.
I think we're going to have to end it for this particular episode.
Yeah, but, I mean, stay tuned, because what will happen next week...
Yeah.
Probably when the Motley Crue album comes out, and it's just all bass. It's just a long... it's a concept album held together by numerous bass interludes.
Well, it's what I've heard is on the QT. I mean, I could just share it amongst us and yeah. our many readers. Was that Nicky's actually made a concept album, and it's called Bass Odyssey, and it says not featuring Mick Mars.
Yeah, definitely
not featuring Mick Mars, yeah. which to me is an instant downer.
Yeah. It will be.
Yeah, you could have had the dealer, but you've gone for John five and a half.
Yeah. I think what the dealer should do is what my chum Taylor Swift is doing. Just re-record all the old albums.
Without the others?
Yeah, without the others, yeah. Why not?
Okay, last one quickly, because you saying that reminded me. A couple of episodes back, we were talking about how Roger Waters is going to put out... Have you heard any of it?
Well, you sent some of it to me.
Did I?
Yeah, I just pressed delete. I didn't.
I don't mean months ago. I mean the last week.
Last week you sent me his version of Money.
Yeah. Did you listen to it?
No.
You had to listen to it.
I didn't listen to it.
No, but you should have done.
But I didn't.
Why do you think I sent it to you?
I don't know.
In terms of hard research.
It just went in the special file I've got on my machine.
Of all my messages.
Yeah, called Mick Wall, yeah.
Called...
Yeah. Yeah, it's called Get Back to Him Later.
Please get back to him as soon as you can. Yeah. Honestly, it was mind blowing. I couldn't. I mean, do you think he's got dementia? I'm not saying that Roger Waters has got dementia. I would never say that without prejudice. I would never say that. I'm just saying it sounds like a guy who doesn't. It's like Trump. You know, it's like a guy who.
Suddenly, the bullshit has tipped so far over.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, now. Whereas at his best, it was 50% bullshit and 50%, vaguely usable. Now it's just 100% bullshit.
Yes. It's tipped over into 101.
Yeah.
You know, which is unreal. That's where he is, an unreal world.
Yeah.
But honestly, the man that wrote, sang, recorded the original Money, I mean, you know, job done forever and ever and ever.
Yeah, but not the dealer. The dealer could do his bits again, I think.
Because he wouldn't do what Roger's done, which is destroy everything.
No.
He'd just get a proper bass player, proper singer.
Yeah. Well, he'd probably get Vince, because him and Vince... I don't think... Here's my theory. I don't think the dealer has fallen out with anyone except Nikki Sixx.
Is that your theory?
That's my theory.
Have you heard... Have you had a little... Because who
was Nikki's best friend? John Five and a Half.
Nikki Sixx?
Yeah. Exactly.
John Five, not quite six. Yeah. Five, not six.
That's why Vince, you know, is currently, trying to adopt the nickname Vince Seven Shooter Neil, just so he doesn't get thrown out.
I definitely read that somewhere.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Right. And on that bombshell, we bid you
adieu.
Adieu.
Goodbye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
How do I stop this, Fern?